SBS Dutch is op woensdag en zaterdag om 11 uur 's ochtends. Je kunt op verschillende manieren naar ons luisteren. Via de radio, digitale tv, online of met de SBS Radio app.
Tienduizenden Nederlanders kwamen naar Australië in de 50, 60 en 70 jaren. Maar niet iedereen heeft haar of zijn verhaal opgetekend. Gelukkig deed Michelle Grice dat voor haar moeder. En daarom schreef ze The Place We Used to Know. Jopie Witsand sprak met haar.
I mean, I've always wanted to write a book. It's one, you know, lots of people say that, I know. Yep. But I guess parallel to that, I'd always been really interested in my mum's early life, just because it was so different than my life and so different to what my dad had grown up with as well, because he's like sixth generation Australian, so it's very, very different to my mum. And I guess as my mum was getting older as well, I've just felt a little bit more compelled to document what her early life had been. And I thought, well, kind of married the two things together, wanting to write a book, and it seemed like a good topic to write about.
And the title of the book is The Place You Used to Know. Can you tell me a little bit about the book? What did you write about? What's the story?
I came up with the title The Place You Used to Know because this is a bit of a way of trying to explain that thing that I think a lot of migrants seem to have is that they kind of feel like they've got a foot in two countries, the place that they used to know, but also they feel part of the place that they currently live now. It starts off with my mum. Her name actually isn't Elsie. I've changed everybody's names in the book. Elsie is in her early 20s, sitting in Broken Hill. She has starts flashing back to her earliest memory from her childhood in Holland. So the book then sort of starts out with giving some insight into life in Holland in the years after World War II, which was fairly tumultuous, you know, rebuilding the country and all that sort of thing. And then, yeah, after a few years of that, it goes into my grandparents feeling like things are moving too slow and they're worried about what the future holds for their children. And so they make the decision to migrate to Australia. And to be honest, I don't really think they knew what they were getting themselves into.
I don't think anybody did, really.
No, I really don't. And that, it's interesting you say that because since releasing the book and posting on Facebook, I've had lots of people in very similar situations, lots of Dutch migrants who've said exactly the same thing, saying, oh my goodness, yeah, I don't think we all kind of knew what it was going to be. And actually what I found really interesting when I was researching it, there was also, and I remember my grandparents actually talking about this too, and my mum, that there was lots of brochures saying, come to sunny Australia and all your dreams will come true, and you know, all those sorts of marketing things, which, yeah, all sounded really good. Sound like, you know, it was going to be far better than what they had in Holland. So, yeah, it was probably not quite what they expected. Yeah, what the book goes into is that they made the best of what they had and they just kept moving forward. And that's what the rest of the book then is about. It's about, yeah, their experiences during the 1950s as new migrants in Australia, and my mum's family that included residing in migrant camps.
I was just going to ask if they spent some time in the migrant camps. Which migrant camp did they stay at?
Yeah, they were at Agrita in Newcastle, and also at Hill 60 for a little while down in near Kiama. Even though I don't think they expected to, you know, fall into a big pot of gold or anything like that, my grandfather's qualifications weren't recognised in Australia, and so he had to start from the bottom again in his industry. And you know, that's hard for anybody. But when you've moved your whole family across the world and realise, oh, I can't even support them in the way I thought I was going to support them, and yeah, that definitely.
Yeah, it's a tough gig. And did your mother ever talk about the difference in the climates?
Absolutely. She still does, yeah. I think actually that's why I decided to start with her in Broken Hill in her early 20s. I'd start the book that way because, you know, for a girl from Holland to be working in Broken Hill, you know, that's a massive difference and just something I think she has probably never really adjusted to.
And in the book, do you address the difference in not just the climate that we just talked about, but the culture, attitudes, food?
Yeah, definitely. In migrant camps, I know they really struggle because, you know, there was some communal dining areas and some food provided. And so that was great, you know, because that's a real help. But it was a big adjustment trying to get used to lots of lamb. That was a hard thing for them to get used to. And I think, too, in the 1950s, even though there was a lot of migrants coming over, there was still a sense of not everybody being welcoming. So I do talk about that a bit with my mum and her siblings at school, that there was quite a number of incidences where they were not made to feel very welcome. And there is a particular scene that I talk about when they first arrive in Australia and they're catching the train up north to go up to Laurieton, which is the first place that they lived. There they were viewed with suspicion and people talking about all these people coming over and stealing our jobs and all that sort of thing. So,
well, it's an interesting observation, isn't it? I mean, that same attitude is prevailing today. And
yes,
if you look back on the migrants that came over in the 50s and 60s, they were called the invisible migrants because they assimilated so quickly.
My mum has actually acknowledged that, I think, over the years, you know, because she's white and blonde-haired and blue-eyed, you know. Yeah, it wasn't hard for her to assimilate as opposed to someone who doesn't look the same as, or whatever a typical Australian is. But, yeah, so once they learnt English and they didn't have much of an accent anymore, then, yeah, it definitely was easy to assimilate, yeah.
Now, well, you grew up with a Dutch mum and an Australian dad.
Yes.
Did you notice any disparities between your parents' approaches, or was your mum reasonably Australianised by the time she had the kids?
Look, I'd say she, yeah, that's probably a good way to say it, was reasonably Australianised, but I think, although I think what was interesting for our family dynamic was my grandmother lived with my immediate family for many years in a granny flat before she moved into aged care. So, yeah, we had Oma living in close proximity to us for quite a long time. And I think that actually had quite a lot of influence on us as far as probably her approach to parenting and her experiences of raising kids. And, yeah, that probably had more of an impact. And that's when perhaps there was a few clashes in that regard.
Well, you have to give me some examples, not of the clashes, but of the conflict. I mean, what would she have done differently that your mother didn't agree with, or that you looked upon as, hey, I'm Australian, why are we doing this?
It was probably in things like, I remember, I have two brothers, two younger brothers, and I remember there being a number of comments about how many jobs that we did around the house or lack thereof, so in my Olma's eyes, that perhaps we didn't pull our weight quite as much as what she would expect the kids to do. And I guess now having written this book, that does make a lot more sense to me because, you know, they all would have had to do a lot more hard work and tasks around the house in order just to survive every day, you know, to eat and to have your hot water and, you know, whatever. It took a lot of effort every day and everybody had to help with that. So I think my Olma probably saw us as
bludgers.
Privileged, yes, that's right. You don't have to do much around the house and struggled when I think when we were not told to do things that she would have told us to do if we were her kids, yeah.
Well, I'm more looking for examples like having a little rug on the table, you know.
Her little granny flat out the back, there was quite a marked difference between the two parts of the house. Like I always felt like I was going into my Dutch grandmother's house. In saying that, one of the things that my mum did always do was her older sister moved back to Holland very soon after they all migrated here. And whenever she would come to Australia to visit over the years, Mum would get her to bring a new rug for the table. So, so yeah, there's definitely things like that obviously my mum did still grab onto, which, yeah, and probably would have looked strange. And you know, you're right, I'd actually forgotten about the rug on the table until you said that, because that was just a normal part of my childhood. And I'm like, yeah, that is a really Dutch thing, isn't it? It's not what all my Australian friends had on their table.
I assume your mother's read the book. What did she say?
Look, she cried when she first read the full thing. It took her back, you know, to, oh, wow, yeah, that is how I felt as a little girl travelling over here on the boat, and that is how I felt when I was at school with all those things that happened.